that was a portrait, that the promised Messiah had not yet come. And yet on this occasion, the Messiah was right in their midst.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
David says, "Nothing I shall want." He means that a vital union with our shepherd, a vital union with Jesus Christ, ensures the supply of every possible necessity of life. All that we need, we can expect, will be supplied by our great shepherd for every circumstance of life. Then David is very precise in unfolding for us exactly what is provided. We've seen the outline already as we flow through the thought there that's in the 23rd Psalm. "I shall not want for rest," David says. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I shall not want for refreshment. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I shall not want for restoration. He restoreth my soul. I shall not want for regulation. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He regulates me according to his own principles of righteousness. I shall not want for refuge. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And I shall not want for resources. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." All of the resources that I have need of, I can expect that they shall be supplied. Now we come to this part of the psalm that deals with refreshment. There are two basic ideas here. The first thing I see is the shepherd's special superintendence. He leadeth me. It speaks, one, of divine salvation. Two, of our human limitations. We stand in need of this leadership. And three, of this gentle persuasion, which we can resist. But if we resist it, we do it to our own ruination. Now there's a second point in that phrase. Do you notice? Not only the shepherd's special superintendence, but I want you to see as well the shepherd's special supply. Where does he lead me? The Bible says, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." That is the shepherd's special supply. Now, there are two ideas that I want to talk about here for just a moment. I want you to see, first of all, the implications of the still waters. They're twofold. One, the still waters speak, I think, of the frailty of the sheep. And two, they speak of the energy of the shepherd in providing for the sheep. One, they speak first of the frailty of the sheep. There's something about a sheep that makes him afraid of swiftly moving water. It speaks to me of the frailty of the sheep, and it speaks to me as well of the energy of the shepherd. I'll just touch on this for just a moment. The idea of still waters, it speaks of the frailty and the fears of the sheep. We see how those fears are removed in our own life through the finished work of Jesus Christ. But it speaks to me as well of the energy of the shepherd. In the Orient, when the Palestinian shepherd approaches a gushing spring, he knows, or perhaps a swiftly moving river, he knows that his sheep will not drink of it. And yet they have a desperate need for water. And so he will expend both great creativity and great energy. The energy of the shepherd is implied by the still waters. He will expend both great creativity and great energy to help the sheep in quenching their thirst. With his staff, for example, he will create a channel in the earth away from the source of water, the gushing, swiftly moving water. He will create a channel in the earth away from the source of water and out for some distance. And then he will hollow out a basin in the ground so that the water can drain from that gushing spring into a quiet pool. And then the sheep are provided a pool of quiet or stilled waters. In other words, the shepherd goes to a great deal of trouble to meet our needs. Jesus Christ has gone to a great deal of trouble to meet our needs. And sometimes we sin against that provision. Sometimes we're very insensitive to it. There's a sense sometimes in which we snub our nose to it. He laid down his very life, Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. There's no greater demonstration that he could have given to us of his love than that he lay down his very life for us. The conflagration, the flame of God's wrath, the torrential flood of God's wrath consumed Christ, that it need never consume us. And whenever we're insensitive to that, there's a sense in which we contemptuously snub our nose at the creative and powerful energy of our Savior in meeting our needs. Sometimes the sheep are impatient. They're waiting for the shepherd to provide this basin. And they will drink from the dirtied and muddied pools, I'm told, as I read of the Palestinian shepherds. They'll drink from the dirtied and muddied pools alongside the trail to the mountain stream. The water in those dirtied and muddied pools is filthy and polluted, with the result that it has a way of riddling the sheep with disease and destruction. And whenever you and I, as his sheep, turn away from the cisterns of God's providing, we can expect that we shall turn up empty, diseased, or polluted. And it seems like so many of us have a tendency to do that. You know, over all the cisterns of this world's providing can be written these words: whosoever shall drink of this water shall thirst again. But over that cistern of God's providing shall be written these words: whosoever shall drink of this water shall never thirst. Their deepest needs will be met. I see in this phrase, the still waters, one, the frailty of the sheep, and the shepherd's sensitive provision for that frailty. And I see as well the energy of the shepherd in making a provision for us. But now, very quickly, I want to look at one last point, and that is the integration. We've seen the implications of the still waters. Now let's look for just a moment at the integration of this living water into our lives. And I wonder if you'd turn with me to a New Testament passage. This is a very familiar passage. John 7, beginning in verse 37, 38, and 39. The Gospel of John, the 7th chapter, and verses 37 to 39. And I see in here a pattern by which we can integrate into our lives this living water of which David spoke here in the Old Testament psalm. The Bible says, John 7, 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, dispensationally, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But he was given on the day of Pentecost, and we enjoy the benefits of that presence today in our day and age. Now, what do you see as you look at those three verses? Can I give you a quick outline that will help you perhaps to understand a little more precisely how we integrate this living water into our lives? How we can come to say with David, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He refreshes my being. He quenches my thirst. I see three things in those three verses, and I want to give it to you as quickly as I can, very quickly here. There's an invitation here, that's in verse 37. There's a clarification here, that's in verse 38. So we understand it very precisely. The truth is expanded and clarified. And there's an identification here. We're told precisely how it is that we can experience this refreshment and this vital union, this spake he of the Spirit. Now look at the invitation in verse 37. As I see it, there are three important points there. I see the setting. It was the last day, that great day of the feast. I see the solemnity or the sobriety of this invitation. He stood and he cried. I see the summons. Come unto me and drink. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Do you notice the setting? The scripture says it was the last day, that great day of the feast. Jesus teaching on this occasion regarding the accessibility of this living water for each one of us took place during what was called the Feast of Tabernacles. We're told that in John 7, verse 2. It was the Feast of Tabernacles. And this was an 8-day feast. Very quickly, let me give you a resume of it. It'll help you understand what Jesus was saying here. It was an 8-day feast. And the last day was a very jubilant day, a particularly jubilant day, for it rounded out the Jewish religious calendar. Daily throughout this 8-day feast, a little ceremony would take place. A priest would leave the temple area and would go out to the pool of Siloam. He would take with him a golden pitcher. From the pool of Siloam, he would bring some water back to the temple area. He bore water back to the Jerusalem temple. As he did this, singers would chant Isaiah 12 in verse 3, "With joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." When he returned to the temple area each day during the feast, this water was then poured out upon the altar as an offering to God. Some suggest that this was a ceremony that did not occur on the eighth day. Others suggest that it was performed on the eighth day, the last day, that great day of the feast, as it's defined there in John 7:37. It was performed, but that the priest returned from the pool of Siloam with a pitcher empty. And he returned with the pitcher empty because that was a portrait that the promised Messiah, who would open up to all of humanity the wells of salvation, had not yet come. And yet on this occasion, the Messiah was right in their midst. It was right in the midst of that historical setting, that last day, that great day of the feast, as they were going through this ritual, and they were returning from the pool of Siloam with that empty pitcher depicting that the Messiah was not yet here. The wells of salvation were not yet fully open. At that moment, Jesus stood and cried. It was a very significant moment. Do you notice not only the setting, but also the solemnity here of this invitation? The Bible says Jesus stood and cried. Both his posture, he stood, and his proclamation, he cried, are significant. He stood so that he could be seen. He cried so that he could be heard. It's a very powerful word. Kradzo is the Greek word to cry. It means to cry aloud, to call out loudly. It was used of the urgent speech and preaching and proclamation of the Old Testament prophets. It was the kind of a penetrating proclamation that would stop a man in his tracks and command his attention. This is a very serious and solemn invitation. It must be heard and it must be heeded. What was it more precisely? Do you notice the summons? We've seen the setting and the solemnity of it. Do you notice the summons? The Bible says, verse 37, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." There's the summons. If any man thirst, you know, there is an unquenchable thirst in the human soul for God, and only God can quench that unquenchable thirst. And any man who fails to recognize that does so to his own ruination, his own destruction. There is an unquenchable thirst for God. And we can only know God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we open up our hearts to him, our thirst is satisfied. It is quenched. Our deepest needs are met.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.